Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at this same time each week. And again, we really count it our privilege to be able to spend this time with you and to be able to come into your homes and to bring the Bible studies. And I'd like to say, you know, we've been especially on these last few messages on water baptism here, as we have sort of taken off here from Romans chapter 6 and verses 1 to 4. We've had such a response about, you know, Pastor Younce, we did not know these things about infant baptism. We just thought they were in the Bible. And these messages that you have brought on that, and we've had some go ask their preacher, well, where is this in the Bible? And they would go to a couple of the places that we have given there and explained that nowhere do you ever find infants. And it has been a real shock to some people that they have just followed the teaching of a church and not followed the teaching of the Bible. And it's really opened up some eyes. So we're happy for that, for the main point that you have went to the Bible yourself. You've challenged the preacher about infant baptism. Where is this found in the Bible? Well, of course, there's no place he can show you anywhere. It is a tradition that crept into the church, been practiced and pawned off on people as though it is of the Lord, when absolutely it is not of the Lord whatsoever, and does a multiplicity of damage later on in the life of the person who has been baptized, I should say. Now we're going to continue on one more lesson here concerning baptism, and that is the mode of baptism. You get into some areas and you begin to find that sprinkling is used in some churches. And I don't know how many people I have had come to me to ask, where do you find sprinkling as far as the mode of baptism in the Bible? Well, there's no place in the world I can show you in the Bible, because sprinkling is never, never baptism. It is another practice that has crept in into the church, and people have done it, pastors have done it, but that is not scriptural baptism whatsoever. So we're going to speak on that a little bit here today and go over some verses here to show you that baptism, what the Greek word means, and also that never do you find anyone ever in the New Testament after baptism, the ordinance was given, do you ever find sprinkling whatsoever. So to begin with, the word submersion, immersion or emergence, is the meaning of the Greek word baptisma, and it comes from bapto, which means to dip. It is then proper to administer the ordinance of baptism by that of sprinkling. Is it proper to do that instead of immersion? Well, to that we would have to answer no, as we're going to see. Now, the Greek word for sprinkle or sprinkling, we find it in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. It is the verb rhantizo, R-H-A-N-T-I-Z-O. That's the Greek word for sprinkling. It is, get this down now, never, never, never once used in reference to a Christian's baptism. We find out here where it is used in Hebrews 9:13. Let me read it to you. And then you go get your Bible when you're in a position or opportunity to do it, and you go read this. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, and it goes on to say to the purifying of the flesh, rancisto, the word sprinkling here is rantizo. This is the word we have just given you, R-H-A-N-T-I-Z-O. Now, since the Christian's baptism symbolically identifies one's faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, it is therefore the Holy Spirit which chose baptisma, that is B-A-P-T-I-S-M-A, immersion, instead of rantizo, sprinkling. You just never find sprinkling ever used as the mode of baptism. You know, I've often wondered, after I was saved a number of years ago, been saved over 40 years, trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I began to read the Bible and begin to study the Bible, got into a good Bible teaching church, but I began to read the Bible for myself, and the thing that always puzzled me as a young Christian, why in the world would churches and preachers do opposite of what God said to do in the Bible and then stand up behind the pulpit and claim we love God, let's say the Apostles' Creed, let's say how much we admire God as the Creator, and all of this, and repeat all of this formal stuff, and turn right around and do something opposite of what God said to do, especially when it comes to baptism. Now, I think it should also be noticed in, that our English words baptize, baptism, and baptized are not a translation from the Greek, but a transliteration. For example, turn with me, if you have the opportunity, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 16, and here's what Paul stated. And I baptized, that is baptismo, not rantizo, not sprinkling, but and I also, I baptized, baptismo, also the household of Stephanas besides, I know not whether I baptized, baptismo, not the word for sprinkling, rantizo, not that word at all. See, the Holy Spirit chose the right word in order for submersion. Now here the Greek is brought over into the English without the meaning being translated into English. Had the King James Version translated the meaning of baptizo into our English, you would then be reading the verse in this way, and I immersed also the household of Stephanas, besides I know not whether I immersed any other. So it would be immersed. In recapitulation, let me just say this again. Our English baptize is a transliteration from the Greek baptismo, which comes from bapta, meaning to immerse, dip, and is derived from a root meaning deep. You know, it's interesting that the Holy Spirit would record why John the Baptist was baptizing in Enon near Salem. Now, let's look at some of these things here about where the baptism took place and some of these things. Notice in your Bible in John chapter 3 and verse 23, and John was baptizing in Enon near Salem. Get this now, this is the word of God, because there was much water there, and they came and they were baptized, that's baptizo, that is immersed. Three things become immediately apparent. First, John went where there was much water. If sprinkling was the method, then this would not have been necessary. Second, notice that they came, that is, whoever they were and wherever they came from, it was because there was not enough water to immerse them. Thirdly, the Greek word itself means immersion, not sprinkling. So let me say this honestly. You see, sometimes when you teach the Bible, it becomes so offensive to organizations and churches and pastors when they do things contrary to the Word of God and teach their people to believe contrary to the Word of God. And then when you teach the Bible of what God wrote here, very simply, then it becomes a thorn in their side. They become furious. They become mad. They go on the attack. Oh, that pastor don't believe him one thing or another. And there, and you, this is usually in churches where people do not carry their Bible. And if they don't carry it to church to follow the preacher, it's because usually the preacher doesn't preach much of the Bible. And therefore, you have nothing to judge it by. Now, let's go on down here of John's baptism of Christ. Let's see what happened here. Now, this is recorded in Mark chapter 1 in verse 9, and here's what we read. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized. Here we have baptismo, not sprinkling now, immersed of John in Jordan, and straightway coming up, get this now, out of the water. He saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Now, also has the same thing in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, John baptized our Lord by immersion, as it would have been illogical to come up out of the water unless you went down into and under the water. No, John didn't go to the Jordan River, get a pan of water, and sprinkle our Lord. He immersed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this. I don't know how many people down through the years that I've had come to me or join our church or begin attending. Maybe they moved from another area or wherever. and come and say, Pastor, you know, I have only been sprinkled, and I know the Lord wants me to be baptized by submersion, showing his death, his burial, and resurrection. And I don't know how many down through the years that we have baptized. Now you say, have you rebaptized them? No, because sprinkling is never baptism. Now, the church may call it baptism, but the church is wrong. The preacher may say, I baptized you, but the preacher didn't baptize you. You are only baptized the scriptural way that God says to be baptized in the Bible. Now you say, oh, Pastor, don't you know, what are you saying? Well, I'm not saying it. Look in your Bible. This is the hardest thing to get for liberal churches that do these things and go against the Word of God, to get people to look in their Bible, because they never even carry it to church. How are you going to get them to look in it when they're at home? But there are some that are beginning to look into it, and which that is good, because you want to follow the Lord, not man. And the middle verse of the Bible, very easy to remember in Psalms 118:8, it's better to put your trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So you put your trust in the Lord by reading what the Lord has to say. And then you can compare what man or church or anybody else says if it agrees with the Lord. If it doesn't, then you better get out of that church and you better get into a fundamental Bible-believing church, or you're going to be deceived by tradition instead of following what God wants you to do. But back again to the many people that we have baptized because they want to be scripturally baptized. They want to believe the Lord instead of believing a church or a man. Now, let's go to another place. The Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. And we come over here to Acts chapter 8. Notice here in verse 37. Now, here Philip had led the eunuch to the Lord, and he in turn asked Philip, what would hinder me from being baptized? Or I should say, he asked Philip that. And you can see here that faith is always the prerequisite for baptism. So Philip put the question to him in verse 37. Notice what it says. And Philip said, if thou believest with all of thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When he said, do you believe with all of your heart? The heart in the Bible is not your pumping literal heart. The heart in the Bible is the seat of your conscience. It is your mind, your thinking power. And if thou believest with all of thy heart, thou mayest. And then he goes on to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In other words, there's nowhere in my mind, nowhere in my mind or thoughts that Jesus Christ is anyone but God manifested in the flesh. The qualification is met, and the baptism is administered in verses 38 to 39. Now let's read it. And they went down both into the water. Now, if they were going to sprinkle and that was the mode, well, he would have just put him down on his knees there and put his hand down there and got a few drops of water and sprinkled that over his head. But they went down into the water because they were going to go under the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Baptize is baptismo again. It is not renso. That is the Greek here for sprinkling. Rentizo is not that. It's not sprinkling. And as we've said, nowhere ever is sprinkling to be used as water baptism. This is the church's idea. This is not what God teaches whatsoever. Now notice again. And when they were come up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Now as we previously pointed out, the word baptized is the Greek word baptismo, and it means to immerse, whereas an entirely different Greek word is used for sprinkling, that is rantizo. It would be illogical to imagine Philip going down into the water, then taking his hand and sprinkling water over the head of the eunuch. And personally, myself, I have never known anyone who baptized by sprinkling that went down into a pool of water and administered the ordinance. I've never seen it in over 30 years. All I ever witnessed was done from a little pan or a little bowl of water, and with the pastor standing on the ground or the floor or the church floor or whatever. No, sprinkling is not biblical baptism, nor does it show the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there are those who would argue that sprinkling was necessary since there was not enough water in Jerusalem in which to immerse. Now, I've had that proposed to me many times. But in the same thing that we have told those who have asked that, In refuting this proposal, let me call your attention to John chapter 9, verse 7. You see, the thing that people don't like, or churches don't like, or pastors don't like, is when you go to the Bible. Oh, they hate it. That's why they never encourage you to carry your Bible to church. And they're not going to get on things like this. That's for sure. You can rest assured of that. But we find out here, when they make that proposal here, that and argue that sprinkling was necessary, since there was not enough water in Jerusalem in which to immerse. But let's go to our Bibles in John chapter 9, in verse 7, and we will call your attention to the verse that refutes this proposal. Now notice here in John chapter 9, in verse 7, "And Christ said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing." Now, if you go back, now just to get a little background on this, a little bit of history on it here concerning this. During Hezekiah's reign, and you can look this up back in 2 Chronicles in chapter 32 in verses 27 to 30, he tunneled the water from the Gihon spring to the pool of Siloam. And it was a distance of about something around 762 feet in a straight line. Here alone was more than enough water to baptize anyone. Another place where people could have been baptized was at the pool of Bethesda. Now John mentions this pool in chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Let's read it. "Now there was at Jerusalem by the Sheep's Gate a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt," that means lame or crippled, "withered, waiting for the moving of the waters." Enough water to immerse would have been absolutely no problem here, as this was a spring-fed pool within the walls of Jerusalem. May I also note that there was enough water also to flush the blood of the temple sacrifices down to the brook Kidron, which ran on down into the Dead Sea. Also, there was a pool of Enrogel, located south of Jerusalem near the Valley of Hinnom. Now today, there's also a well there over 100 feet deep called Bir Arjab, or it's also known as the Well of Job. Lack of water as an excuse for sprinkling fades into oblivion when we check out Jerusalem and the surrounding area. And I might say this to the sincere child of God who desired to follow the Lord in biblical baptism, such a place can be found. I remember one church in a southern town that I pastored, we didn't have a baptismal within the church. In the summertime, the springtime, and early fall, those that we had led to Christ, we baptized, but we would baptize them down into the creek. I remember one winter we had led, I think, 12 or 15 people to the Lord, and they wanted to be baptized right away. So I called another church, Baptist church over in Cleveland, Ohio, and we went over there that afternoon and baptized, I think it was 12 or 15 people, something like that, and baptized them over there by submersion because they wanted to be scripturally baptized. They wanted to obey God and be baptized the way the Lord has said to be baptized and not follow the tradition of a church which perverted baptism and what it meant. I've baptized people in streams, in rivers, lakes, as well as the baptismal pool in our church when you pastor a church that has one. You know, a strange thing happened when I was baptized in a creek when we were pastoring in Indiana many years ago. The church had congregated at the creek site on Sunday afternoon for the baptismal service. And you know, it's sort of because they like to be baptized in the creek or lake or that. But prior to arrival, well, we had set it up that the deacons were supposed to have made sure that there were no snakes in the immediate area. So we had the deacons go down and they were going to, you know, make sure there wasn't any water snakes swimming around, you know, because we had several ladies that were going to be baptized. And I don't know if you ever seen a lady, well, some men too, and they see a snake close by, and I'll tell you what, they're fungus among us. I mean, they're going. But anyway, we sent the deacons down, and anyway, one of the deacons led out the first person to be baptized, and it happened to be a young lady. And just as I was about to immerse her, we had said the few things, you know, that she's following in the Lord and believer's baptism and on profession of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll baptize you in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, being buried with him in baptism and raised with him in the likeness of his resurrection. But just before I put her down or put her under, she spotted a water snake swimming by. And, oh boy, and I thought, oh my gracious, here, we got to act faster. She's not going down, she's going out. And I spotted a thing just about the same time she did, and immediately, whoom, down we went. And I put her under there and baptized her. I think this was the fastest that I ever baptized anyone. But needless to say, she didn't need any help at all in coming up out of the water, nor did she wait to be escorted back to shore, because we'd always have the deacon come back out after we raised them up from being baptized. No, out of the water, we'd have one of the deacons come back out, take them by the hand, and escort them back to shore. I believe that it was about as close as I've ever come to seeing anyone walk on water, or should I say run on water. I'll tell you what, it sure put a damper on the service. And we had some other ladies that were going to be baptized, and I'll tell you what, she had the deacons thoroughly look that situation over, and she did too, before they came out to be water baptized. But the whole point of the situation is, if you have not been baptized by submersion, you have not been baptized in God's eyes. The church will say that you have, if they sprinkle, and so forth, but the church is not God. The preacher is not God, and the preacher has misled you, thinking that, you know, well, I baptized you. No, you didn't baptize anybody. You sprinkled water over them. Nowhere. And what you need to do is go to your preacher, go to your church, and say, show me in the Bible where sprinkling was ever used as far as the mode of baptism. And if you have never been baptized by submersion, I would suggest you find a church and a pastor that you can be baptized scripturally the way God wants you to do, and forget what man tells you, because he's just a man. It's just a church. But what God tells you, that's where he puts his authority behind it. And it comes down again to a very simple thing, the middle verse of the Bible in Psalms 118:8. It's better to put your trust in the Lord than it is confidence in men. And again, I might say this. The thing that bothered me after I was a new Christian and began to read the Bible was, why do churches do this? Why in the world don't they do what God tells them to do? Why do they mislead people and literally lie to people and say you've been baptized by sprinkling when you have not in God's eyes? You're still unbaptized because God gives the mode. He brought the Greek word baptismo, transliterated it right over into the English. And look it up in your Greek. It means immerse, identification, deep, and wherever you find baptism in the Bible. So if you've been sprinkled, you have not been biblically baptized. You haven't been baptized at all. You've just followed a man's tradition, and in God's eyes, you're still unbaptized. You need to be baptized by submersion, which shows under the water death. When you are brought up out of the water, it shows resurrection. And you are symbolically showing by your testimony of submitting to water baptism, biblically now, not according to the church or the preacher. They have no right to disagree with God, go against what God says, and do opposite of what God says. And like I say, that used to bother me a lot. Why do they do that? They claim to be a preacher. Why don't they do what God tells them to do? So that they do the right thing for the people who are saved. Why do they pervert it and do some other thing that is never found in the Bible? And I've just come down to the conclusion they either don't know the Bible, or they don't care about the Bible, or they're just going to follow what their church or their seminary taught them, and the heck with the Bible, because the Bible says submersion, period. So my challenge to you is, if you're a Christian, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you know that you have everlasting life, then you ought to want to be scripturally baptized, satisfying God's way of doing your baptism by following what God says and not a man. And I don't care how many times you've been sprinkled or what you've done, it makes no difference. In God's eyes, you have not been baptized unless you have been baptized the way God says to do it, and that is by immersion. So, you know, it's your choice to do what you want to do. As for me, I'm glad that I was baptized by a pastor who followed the Word of God and baptized me And it was wonderful to know, just to know that I was giving my testimony that my faith was in Jesus Christ and Him alone, and that He died on that cross for me, and that He paid for every sin that I've ever committed, past, present, and future, that I'd never go to hell to pay for any sin that I have ever done, and that He rose from the dead, showing He had power over Satan, He had power over death, and showing in that resurrected body that the same Spirit that raised up the Lord Jesus from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that indwells me and every Christian that has put their faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, having that power, that Holy Spirit, I'm insured and promised that if the Holy Spirit can give Jesus Christ a resurrected body and bring Him back from death unto life and walk this earth 40 days, show Himself alive with many infallible proofs, and I have that same Holy Spirit when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, raptures His church, that my body is going to be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. I'm going to be changed and go home to be with the Lord in my new glorified body, new resurrected body, where there'll never be sickness, sorrow, or death again. What a wonderful salvation we have in Jesus Christ. It all boils down to this. You're going to listen to what a man or a church tells you that goes against the Word of God. And if you've never been scripturally baptized, I would encourage you to do it, because then you're pleasing God and not just pleasing man. And you know, it's a very interesting thing. Let me just give you the scripture here, because Paul, writing to the Galatians, said this, and this is where you're at in your Christian life. You've been sprinkled. Here's where you're at. Let me just give this to you. You're right over here in Galatians chapter 1, in verse 10 and 11. Notice what it says. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You put your trust in Jesus Christ. Get yourself, if you've never been baptized by submersion, go to a preacher that follows the Bible and have him baptize you scripturally the way God wants you baptized, and it'll be wonderful for you. You'll have the peace of God that passes all understanding, knowing you followed God and not man. Well, if you've never trusted Christ, we hope that you'll do it, and know that you have a home in heaven. I'd like to ask you to visit our website. It is www.heritagebbc.com. We have a large archives on there that have many questions and so forth and answers on there that we've put on there down through the years. I think that you might enjoy it. Well, we hope you'll take time to write us again, and we appreciate those letters. And our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.